The Russian Job, The Forgotten Story of How America Saved the Soviet Union from Ruin, written by Douglas Smith, read by Natasha Sodek. It burns and scorches the midday heat. All life here has died. In slumbering peace, the earth lies mute, guarding its secret. Not a sound, save the occasional whirlwind. A column of fire, rushing over the field, rises heavenward and vanishes like smoke. Severe and stern, the infinite sky. It's empty. The gods have all died and are now deaf to the suffering of men. The earth's parched, no dew, no rain. Our fertile fields, vast like the sea, whose bounty once brought comfort, fill our hearts with joy no more. Death stalks the land, bringing with it endless sorrow. A. Gillis, Boguruslan, Russia, 1922. Trying to kill people may sound more exciting than trying to keep them alive, but don't you ever believe it so? George McClintock, American Relief Administration, Samara, Russia, 1922. Prologue. Mr. Wolfe's Horrifying Discovery. The stories began to appear in the Soviet press in the autumn of 1921, each one more gruesome than the last. There was the woman who refused to let go of her dead husband's body. "We won't give him up," she screamed when the authorities came to take it away. "We'll eat him ourselves. He's ours." There was a cemetery where a gang of 12 ravenous men and women dug up a fresh corpse and devoured the cold flesh on the spot. There was the man captured by the police after murdering his friend, chopping off his head and selling the body at a street market to a local restaurant owner to be made into meatballs, cutlets, and hash. And then there was the desperate mother of 4 starving children, saved only by the death of their sister, aged 13, whom the woman cut up and fed to the family. The story seemed too horrific to believe. Few could imagine a hunger capable of driving people to such acts. One man went in search of the truth. Henry Wolfe, a high school history teacher from Ohio, spent several weeks in the spring of 1922 traveling throughout Samara province, several hundred miles southeast of Moscow on the Volga River, intent on finding physical evidence of cannibalism. In the district of Melekyes, officials told him about a father who had killed and eaten his 2 little children. He confessed that their flesh had tasted sweeter than pork. Wolfe kept on searching and eventually found the proof he had been looking for. At first glance, it appears to be an unremarkable photograph of 6 individuals in winter dress, 2 women and 4 men, their expressions blank, betraying no particular emotion. But then our eyes catch sight of the grisly objects laid out across a wooden plank resting unevenly atop a pair of crates. There are 2 female heads, part of a rib cage, a hand, and what appears to be the skull of a small child. The adult heads have been cracked open and the tops of the skulls pulled off. Along with the human flesh, cannibals had feasted upon the brains of their victims. Wolfe stands second from the right, surrounded by Russian interpreters and Soviet officials. There's a faint look of satisfaction on his face at having accomplished his goal. Here, at last, was the incontrovertible proof he had set out to find. Wolfe may have found the answer he had been seeking, but to us, a century later, the photograph raises a number of questions. What was Wolfe doing in Russia in the first place? What had led this young American to a remote corner of the globe, half a world away, in search of such horrors? And why would the Soviet government, the newly formed socialist state of Vladimir Lenin and his Bolshevik Party, dedicated to world revolution and the overthrow of the capitalist order, have helped Wolfe to uncover, much less document and